On today's episode of Back the Bird, we are joined by Joel Big Rig Watson. Chat about his NLL career, his junior career coming up, a really funny story about the draft. Also talk about the new NLL Unboxed initiative and catch up on some news and notes around the league. Let's get into it. This is episode 98 of Back of the Bird.
All right, boys, we're back. Episode 98. Paulie, who is it?
Former guest, Callum Crawford.
Showtime.
Showtime, baby.
The Showtime episode. As always, brought to you by Cottage Springs. We're doing a nice little change up here. The morning recording. We've hit a lot of firsts in the last little while. The morning recording is definitely one of those. So we're just becoming mature guys these days, finding ways to put it in just for the fans. That's what we're all about. But again, brought to you by Cottage Springs. Get out there. Try the jacked up ones, and we got some new holiday stuff coming. I got a little text from my buddy yesterday. We're going to be pumping out some information on some holiday packs and things like that. So stay tuned. They're coming. Well, let's get into it. Paulie, what's going on?
None, buddy. Just, speaking in the morning, just, sitting in the old airport, heading over to Vancouver for training camp number two, man. Road Warriors. The Road Warriors.
This is very, very, very on brand right now.
Yeah.
What's the seat number?
Oh, I was just going to bring it up. 17E middle, man. I got a 5-hour flight in the middle. brutal. I'm in one. I am in one here in like half hour.
That's not good. Yeah. You're way too big of a man to be sitting in the middle of an airplane all the way there.
Yeah. Hopefully someone pulls a sympathy card and be like, hey, we'll upgrade you. Sometimes that's happened once or twice, but we'll see. Looks like a full flight.
Yeah. Paulie, besides your time in San Diego, which was a half season, right? When was the last time you were flying to home games?
I flew into Philly, but like that's obviously like an hour flight. But when I first started, I was the ultimate road warrior to San Jose, from Detroit to San Jose. Never direct. So like it was always Detroit to Atlanta, Detroit to Vegas, Detroit to somewhere, and then back up to San Jose. It was, that was a nightmare. Like, coming home was always, like, at least a 12 to 15-hour travel day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it was,
glad we've come a long way since then.
Yeah. I mean, again, you're, like, 21, 22. You don't really know any different. But, like, yeah, you just had to get back to, like, my house in Windsor at, like, yeah, like anywhere from midnight to like 1 o'clock every day. Leave at like 9 in the morning San Jose time and get back at like midnight.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then not go to school on Monday because that was always optional.
There's not a chance you were rolling into class.
Not a snip, dude. Not a snip.
This episode there's not a ton going on. We're in the midst of camp. Still got to check on Donnie. Forgot about that. Donnie, what's up?
Yep, all good. no free ads here, but I'm about to give one. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Zevia, it's like sodas. They're like zero calories, zero sugar. Anyways, they make an energy drink now. It's delicious.
I needed to know what you were guzzling over there.
Yeah, it's actually really good. I'm trying it for the first time. It's fantastic.
There's nothing like a little 8 a.m. energy drink to get the stomach moving here.
Yep. But other than that, I'm done with my road trip. Viewers on YouTube will see from the Joel Watson part of this that I was at a Starbucks about 20 minutes outside of Ann Arbor, Michigan. So I've edited the podcast in some interesting places over the last 2 years, and now I can say recorded in Michigan as well. But glad to be done with that. And good to be back. We're at Memorial this weekend, and then on the track on Sunday, which I would imagine is open for the public to come watch. So if you're looking for a game, 1 o'clock, Philly Panther City on Sunday should be a really good one.
Yeah, there you go.
I think they're doing like a fundraiser for the Rock game on Saturday too, right?
Yeah,
I'm sure they are.
They usually do like canned goods or something. Bring canned goods, get it for free, something like that. Usually.
There you go. So if you're around the area, get out, watch some, lacrosse. So we're down in Buff tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday. So if you're in Buffalo too, I don't know what they're doing for fans, but 10 a.m. be there. But yeah, so this week we've got Joel Watson on. Fun little chat with him. Since then, we've had just a whole, because obviously, you'll hear it in the interview. But I asked him, started asking him about Cameo and jumping on there, and he was getting some weird requests. So I started having conversations with our buddy Reed Reinhold, who was kind of like help facilitate this, just like another way for players to kind of get some money. So he went on there and created his own profile so that he could at least like, because I think guys are having trouble logging in or like seeing how it functioned. So he went on, created his own profile, didn't advertise it or anything, and ended up getting some all-time messages from this art guy. And I asked Reed if I could share this, because this gives you a scope into the absolute debacle there is out there of just weird humans. But he gets a message. We're going to leave this guy's name out of it. He just says, "Hey, Reed, blank here. I was wondering if you would be down to be a subject for my art. All I would need is 20 to 30 seconds of video, and then I can send you the finished piece through Instagram, if that's cool." Reed responds in a very naive way, "Hi, what would that be?" Said person comes back, "I won't be able to show you through here, but I can show you better through Instagram, if that's okay. I'll describe it here. So essentially, you're pretending to read a book, wearing sunglasses, both bare feet up facing the camera, and then the last 5 seconds, you toss the book." And Reed responds with, "Hey man, I think I'm gonna pass, but thanks anyway."
Dude, I think I'm getting on Cameo. I want some of this smoke.
And now my favorite part of this interaction, this person was paying $2.99 for each of those messages to send them to Reed to ask him for this picture or this video. So these absolute freaks are out there, and honestly, if times get bad, my toes are gonna be all over the internet, and I'm gonna be just tossing books around my condo trying to get some extra money. But just,
hey, if the boys get a little harsher in court this year, then you might be on the Cameo.
Oh yeah. Exactly. If I start getting fines left, right, and center here, maxed out or whatever, you got it. You're gonna have to make up some money anyways. Another one, Joel. I got this one. This is sent by Joel. A message he got through his Cameo. We might have to do the Cameo corner every week here with all these freaks. But this one's from another random guy. I'm not gonna give his name. It says, "Joel, you rock. Let me know if you want to make money to make videos of your footwear and feet. It'd be super easy and it would mean a lot. Let me know because it would be super dope. I'd pay on Venmo or PayPal if preferred. Please make your DMs free. Paid another $2.99 to send that." And Joeler comes back, "Thanks, Jared. I'm good on the feet pics. Hope all is well."
I love the responses. The boys are so polite. Yeah, I'm good.
Because I feel like if you came back to one of these guys and just said, "Hey, you freak, get out of here," like they would be finding you on the internet and just hunting you down. So, unbelievable content coming out of the Cameo games already. So, we might have to make one just so that we can get a message a week here, from somebody asking for something nuts. But
I think we should do it. I think we should do it. Not for the that part, but for all the actual members of the Bird Gang who, we should do it.
All six of the birthday messages we're gonna have to put out there. But hey, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. All right, Tony, we'll leave you in charge.
Okay. that's like leaving you in charge of mailing stuff off. It's just never gonna get done.
Oh, that's actually so bang on. Dyson sent me a text the other day. He's like, "Dude, how do I get some of this back of the bird merch?" I'm like, "Here, let me get you some in 4 years."
I had to drop something off at the UPS store for my girlfriend, and there's a guy in there just with like 7 packages, maybe all of them for like returning them. And I was like, "I'm like so impressed with you that you're like on top of mailing shit, because that like goes so far over my head, it's not even funny. I have like no idea. I never return stuff. It's just
I'm fascinated by the way that women shop, and they'll do like the online order of like 8 different things and then just like ship back 7 of them.
And yeah, when I was living in Denver, it was my girlfriend and her 3 roommates. The amount of packages that came to the house were unbelievable. And by the way, there's some female listeners in Back of the Bird who are just like fucking punching their steering wheel right now because they're like, you guys are fucking idiots. That's how the world works. But we're idiots. I'm an idiot.
You're absolutely you're bang on with that. But I guess this is pretty good little timing on recording though, but I'm fresh off going to see our buddy Boston Levi play last night. So
how was it?
It was really good. They played a great show. They did they started playing Run Baby Run in a little bit of a different way. So it was really cool. Kind of got the crowd into it. People were loving it. I had a bunch of friends from work that came and watched, and they all left. And we've got some Boston Levi's got some new fans. So it was good to. Good to see those guys and then sneak out of there. All-time responsible band move. We're talking no booze concert.
Do they still have the drummer who said that the concert was the best day of his life the same week he got married?
Yes. Yeah. Same guy. They're both so animated. It's that was good fun. Good to see them. Again, told them I'd bring them hoodies, forgot them. At home, so welcome to the Hoodwink Club. We don't have a ton this week. Obviously, it's just camp going on. I guess the biggest news kind of coming out from the NLL is this NLL Unboxed program. So, Paul, you want me to read this thing because you're on your phone probably? Eh?
Yeah, that'd be great, buddy. Okay. I'm not much of a reader either.
Yeah, that's fair. That's actually why I love when you read. I'm sure a lot of people would have seen this kind of going on right now with the NLL social media, all these kind of team names coming out, and I've seen some replies and different things. Like people were a little bit confused because it did kind of look like we were rolling out like 8 new teams in the league. I was like, juiced.
Yeah.
Boys, I can. We might have
Tampa. Another, let's go. We're going to Tampa. Let's go.
Yeah, we might have another 5 years here. We got some Coles notes kind of sent to us on the NLL Unboxed program. So I'm going to read through this, and then we'll kind of go from there. It's a little bit out of date just in terms of chronologically, like the teams being announced, but that's. That's fine. So NLL Unboxed, which was announced on Monday with the goal of bringing the box game to more boys and girls across North America. So they've started out with cities that include the 15 NLL markets plus 9 additional markets, which have been slowly announced. I don't know if they've all been announced. Can I read all of these?
Yeah, maybe. Do it.
Fuck it.
I think most of them were supposed to be announced this week, like my Monday, okay. I think. So I think we're
good.
Okay. Good. So we got Baltimore, Charlotte, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Montreal, Ottawa, Salt Lake City, Seattle, St. Louis, and Tampa Bay. So each of the 9 communities have your team name. So, and I think they did a great job on this branding. Kind of just a few examples of things we saw rolled out, the Tampa Bay Snowbirds, the Ottawa Electric, St. Louis Rhythm, Baltimore Ghost Crabs, Minnesota Lake Dragons. So there's some really cool teams being thrown out there. All the brand looks cool. So essentially the next phase of this after they announce the teams is this NLL Unboxed at the school. So Casey Powell is leading this charge, creating a curriculum to essentially teach lacrosse through his speed lacrosse program to a bunch of schools in those designated cities, and they'll all be kind of get some swag and gear and of those kind of mascots that we just talked about. So again, with the Olympics coming up in 2028, I think the goal is to just spread the game as much as possible to maybe these centers that hadn't seen it before. get them playing, get kids, you know, being more active, give them an outlet, and then try to create, you know, some lifelong fans. So, really cool stuff by the league. Well, Casey Powell's leading that charge, should be fun. So, again, I think they hit a home run with the branding. So we got Paulie's wrench on.
I was going to say, this is actually a good view of life in the NLL. Paulie's going through a classic airport conversation. What's up, dude? How's everything? How's the week?
How's the work? Week, buddy?
Yep. Oh, I'm good. Yeah, kids are busy. Yeah. Excited to get back with the boys.
Fuck, I'm a middle seat. Oh, you're a middle seat.
For those listening on audio, by the way, Paulie is at the airport and just saw his teammates and is giving them a hug right now. So that's people listening to the audio are like, what is wrong with these guys?
And I love he's like not even letting them know that he's literally in the middle of recording a podcast and he can't hear us. He took his headphones out.
Yeah, he muted himself and took his headphones out. So
we can say whatever we want about this guy.
Yeah, classic.
You know, the backpack fanny pack move is nuts. But
yeah, he's got a backpack and a fanny pack. He's got both hands covered.
He could have so many snacks on him right now.
All right, on the unboxed, it seems like a very cool idea. The speed lacrosse thing, I think, is cool. I think it's a cool way to develop kids. I actually also think that like 3x like that, 3-on-3 mini lacrosse is actually a good development tool for more experienced lacrosse players too. I think that idea is pretty interesting. And the branding seems sick. So, you know, amongst all these things, it's not the most important thing, but it's been a nice little PR boost for the league here. I think the reception has been pretty positive and the branding is pretty cool. So that's certainly been nice. And one thing that I actually didn't really think about until now, until you're just reading it out, is I would imagine this, you know, could be expanded in future years to hopefully expand that junior NLL's tournament, especially in areas that maybe already have some lacrosse, like a Baltimore. You know, obviously the main goal seems to be getting new athletes into the game and new kids into the game at a hopefully a lower cost level with the speed lacrosse and less gear and that kind of thing. But, you know, if we can get the Baltimore Snow Crabs up into the junior NLLs tournament and start to grow the game that way, then, you know, then hell yeah.
The fucking Snow Crabs. I love that.
They're pretty sick.
The branding is really good. I want it.
I like the rhythm. I mean, I think they've all been good. Snowbirds is very cool, I thought. Snowbirds, everyone would know what Snowbirds means, right? That's not just a Canadian term. Like, do we?
I don't know. I don't.
For Americans who might not be aware, Snowbirds is a term for, correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, typically older Canadians who start spending their winters in Florida and then their summers back in Canada.
Yep, you got it. And That's a big term in the travel insurance industry, Donnie, because you're going to want that coverage on those snowbirds.
Did I tell you my grandma's story about travel insurance?
No, let's hear it.
So my grandma told me, I went up to see her, they live in London, and she told me that Ellie and I need to get married because she's still paying for her travel insurance and it's very expensive because she's holding out for an American wedding. So we need to hurry up and get married so that she can stop paying for travel insurance.
She pays yearly or she pays like monthly for travel insurance?
Yeah. And so I think it's like very hard to get travel insurance at her age, or it's very expensive for short bursts. So she's basically staying on her plan because it's, she claims, cheaper than doing it for like one weekend.
You set me and grandma up on it with a phone call and we'll get her dialed in.
I should. I was like, girl, that is banana land.
I don't think the best way to do it is to permanently have travel insurance if you're not traveling.
I know. I told Ellie, I was like, just so you know, I'm not ready, you're not ready, but my grandma is fucking ready to go.
Maybe you do a fake one. What if you just do it in Canada? Do you think you can
like super highly possible we do it in Canada. I'm Canadian. very possible.
50-50 chance.
That's
funny. Paulie, how was the conversation with the boys?
It was good. I was just ran into assistant coach Danny Mack and then Slip McMahon. So sorry, boys. He just had to leave it. Looking good. Looking good. He's got the spectacles on. He's looking good. Prime for a big weekend. He had to miss the first weekend because he was in Dubai. So he's ready to go.
What? For work?
Yeah. 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 I'm just glad he got back safe.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. We need to get him on for a Dubai review.
Hey, speaking of Danny Mac, underrated line from that podcast was he was talking about that breakfast that lunch they had at Earl's. And he said he had the Mount Rushmore of drinks. He had a coffee, alcohol, and a Diet Coke. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Dude, every time I'm hungover now, it's like Mount Rushmore of drinks here.
The Mount Rushmore is funny. We used to get Snapchats of like from Gilly's of like the desk lineup.
Snacks and stuff, yeah.
Oh my God. He would have the craziest stuff, like a Gatorade, a 5-hour energy drink, like full extra pulp orange juice sandwich, like egg salad, just gross. So many different things. But I'm trying to think of anything else that's kind of going on. I guess if we want to dip our toe into the hockey world, I'm still undefeated, or the Leafs are still undefeated with me in the building, 3-0.
You may need to start going more than Jesus.
But, I've seen Matthews score 11 times this year. I've gone to 3 games.
Yeah, he's having a good season.
That's kind of wild, eh?
Yeah, it's nuts.
Now, yeah, the Leafs are struggling a bit, but they're not struggling as much as those Edmonton Oilers are.
They just lost it to the Flint, Michigan Mega Bowl. They just lost it.
Yeah, they just lost.
I think that's an insult to the Flint, Michigan Mega Bowl. Yeah. To call that game that.
They just lost to the Timbits Green Team, and everything is going downhill here. I think that coach is done. It's actually – I was listening to – I jumped on Twitter because Ryan Whitney was hosting like a Twitter space after the game. And he's like – it was actually so funny how sad he was. And then all the fans were jumping in and talking about what they want to happen with the team. Like fans are talking trade Dreisaitl. Like they're going nuts. It's honestly one of my favorite things to see how like kind of the general population fan – dealing with a little bit of adversity. I mean, or a lot of adversity in that case, but it's an interesting time to be an Oilers hockey fan.
Yep.
We got to get Teddy Jenner on, not to talk about the upcoming NHL season, but just to talk about his Oilers.
Yeah.
So may want to do a wellness check on Teddy. Hopefully he's doing okay right now.
Teddy. Yeah. Thinking about you, Teddy.
He could be deep in the gin right now. I'm just taking a look at the old NLL. Oh, we had the media day. Donnie, do you have a media day today?
Yeah, so I think hard to tell from yesterday, but I believe maybe just The Rock were doing it yesterday, and then
there was a bunch of I think oh, okay. There was other things. Yeah.
All right, yeah. I'm going today. I hope I didn't get the day wrong.
That's amazing.
I certainly hope there's a media day today at the track. But yeah, should be cool.
Maybe they did it like half and half.
Yeah, I think I'm doing some behind the scenes stuff for Panther City, maybe. So keep your. I guess it'll be after.
I saw your. I saw your article there too. That was a great article.
Oh, thanks. I mean, yeah. I didn't write it, but thanks.
Yeah, it was really
good.
Shout out
Adam Levi.
Yeah.
I think let's kick it to the big rig here.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So this is our buddy Joel Watson jumping on. We're gonna enjoy this chat as always. Brought to you by Lucky Penny Media. At Lucky Penny Media, we are a full-service marketing company without hefty agency pricing. We understand your brand is everything to you, and when working together, it means everything to us. You're more than just a client. You're a partner and a teammate. Our philosophy is simple. You grow, I grow, we grow. Voice crack. Joel Watson, let's go. We are pleased to be welcomed by our next guest, hailing from Whitby, Ontario. He played his junior split between Clarington Junior B and Whitby, and will eventually be drafted by the Buffalo Bandits in 2019. He's had stops in Rochester and now calls Vegas home. Welcome to Back of the Bird, Joel Watson. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well, buddy. How you doing?
Not too bad. Just gearing up in camp, getting ready for the season, the move down to Vegas.
You going back?
Yeah, I'm doing the round 2. I probably shouldn't, but I'm heading back.
Hey, you got it when you can, man. You got it when you can. We'll get into that in a little bit to let us know how it was. But why don't we, Lomi, you want to start from the top here, bud?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. How'd you get into lacrosse, buddy?
Well, just my family's always been involved in Whippy Meyer lacrosse. So at the young age of three, my dad put me in the game, and then kind of funny story about how I became a goalie. So he was the coach of the paperweight rep team, and I tried out as a player, and he came home and had the tough decision to tell me that I was going to get cut because I was not. My mom is in the corner, absolutely fuming. Like, and he's like, "Yeah, you're just not quick enough to make this team." Like, I was like, "Oh,
that is like, amazing." Well,
he's like, "If you want to play on this team, like, you're gonna have to go in between the pipes." And you know, I haven't looked back from there.
I honestly love that. Like, he's probably like the whole car ride home. He's thinking about how he's gonna deliver that speech and just break a heart. And he's like, "Listen, man, it's not you. It's just not gonna work.
Being in paperweight, I think that was the best time to do it. Like, just kind of right into it.
Yeah, you don't know any better, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
And as a kid, you're probably like, wow, yes, I get to put all that gear on. Like, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't have to run.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't have to run around.
Exactly.
Hey, he was thanking his old man. He's like, yeah, it wasn't for me anyways, Pop. Yeah.
Hey, Dad, here's $5. Thanks for doing that.
I don't know, though. My hands are they're soft.
You know what's funny? I kind of have a similar story how I went in net, too, like how I started. I started lacrosse late. So I played 1 year of out, and we won the Pee Wee B Championships. And because we only had one team in Oakville, our goalie moved to Calgary like the next year. So they're like, hey, we need a goalie. And I like just started playing. So it was terrible. And then I was like, oh, I don't know, I'll go in net. And then kind of same thing, never looked back till I was 21. And then just played net for my whole life after that.
It's the way you got to go.
Yeah. So was there ever a time when you were like kind of younger and minor that you're like, man, get me out of here?
Honestly, no. Like, I just kind of embraced it at that point. And like, honestly, growing up in Whippy, my age group at my 98s and the 97s, like we were a pretty powerhouse. Like, I know Donnie could attest to this.
Who were some of the guys?
Dawson Feed,
okay,
yeah. Justin Lemke, like a bunch of guys that don't even play anymore. But we just,
yeah,
like,
you guys got hit by the hockey bug.
Yeah, for sure.
Lemke played hockey. Theater played hockey. Jack. Hamley.
Yeah.
He was my age. Stud D guy. I played hockey. A lot of hockey guys. Bryce Yetman was a really good hockey player. Yeah. Those guys were all like top 10 players in the province of Crosswise. They were studs.
Yeah. Like, I think we went on, like, I think I won 12 provincial championships growing up between box and field. Yeah. Like, I didn't lose very much.
What year are you born?
I'm a 98. I'm saying, yeah.
Okay. Fuck, Donnie. See, were you just losing them left, right, and center, or what?
Were you guys competing in them?
I was in Oakville for the first 6 years, so we weren't really in them. And then in Burlington, we played in two provincial championships. But Joel was competing like both years, whereas Burlington, we were good enough.
It was only in the second?
Better. Yeah.
Okay.
97 group was like dominant, the Whippy 97 group. So when we were minors, they were really good.
I always got that extra year. I was always on the A team, so I always played with the 97s. But then my 98, 99 group, like, we were competitive, like, we won a few, but we weren't as competitive as that 97, 98 group.
They got the advantage, though, that every damn qualifier in provincial is 10 minutes down the road. They're setting up at the home shop there. It's just easy does. And then going to get the old arena pizza, Donnie's favorite.
I put in some shifts at the old pizza before Pizza Nova, man.
Oh, you kept him alive.
Oh, that place was clearly I didn't do well enough.
Maybe they just made off with all the earnings. They sold high.
Yeah.
Maybe touch on that a little bit, because I think it's just like the qualifiers and like the whole like lacrosse festival and everything, and like what that feels like doing in your hometown. So I feel like it's something we haven't really talked about a ton on this podcast.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, we're very grateful here in Whippy to have the facility that we do. Even the facilities around Durham region are crazy, because even the festivals moving from like just from Whippy to Clarington, the Brooklyn, Pickering, like everywhere. But yeah, like it was obviously an advantage to be able to go home and have a nice sleep in your bed and get the resources you need. But yeah, growing up as a kid, like I remember like my parents would just drop me at the festival for 10 days straight. Like it's basically free childcare. Like see you after work, like hang out at I remember the Reebok box tent. Like guys would go down there and spend the whole day playing mini sticks and shooting watermelons for free shafts, you know? Like I used to come home with all kinds of stuff from that tournament. And it was honestly, that's what it was. I was there from sunrise to sundown.
That's we might have to get a little back of the bird tent at the next
some executive with Reebok is like, I thought I was doing outreach. It was the same 10 kids taking
Watsy's rolling out of there with 10 shafts and 14 extra watermelons, just like thanks for the gear, buddy.
He's the sole reason they went out of business.
I got friggin' 10 watermelon 10Ks in my garage right now.
Hey, when that tent was set up, was like my brother there? Were like the cross guys there running it? Like Brody and my brother Steinhaus, were those guys running it or no? Yeah,
I think they were, Paulie, to be honest. Yeah. Like I was really young. Like I would have been 9, 10, 11 years old. So yeah. But yeah, I would imagine that's who was running it. Yeah.
That's funny. Think about that. They're just like, and it makes their job a lot easier if they just like throw those 10 kids in there and let them muck it up in the mini sticks, and then we don't have to do anything for the rest of the day.
Exactly.
Well, let's move into junior. So did you play 1 or 2 years with Clarington?
I just played the 1 year.
Just the 1 year? How was the team that year?
We were very young. I think we had 10 or 11 98s that year. So it was a learning experience for sure for a lot of us. I think we went 18-2 or 19-1. Like we had a good regular season, and then we just kind of ran into a tough Oakville team in the playoffs. And it was Aquasaw's year that year, and they kind of ran with it. I'm pretty sure they won Founders.
So were you protected by Whippy, and then they send you to Clarington? Like how'd that all go down?
So when you get into junior lacrosse in Durham region, so the Green Gales, they're not actually called the Clarington Green Gales. They're called just the Green Gales. They're a Whippy-based franchise. They just play in Bowmanville.
Gotcha.
So they actually own our rights right off the bat. So if you get released from Whippy Junior A, you go down to the Green Gales Junior B. So that's where I spent my first year, played there. And I had a really good season. I think I led the league in goals against. And
so you started right away?
I think I played 12 out of the 20 games.
Yeah. So that's huge for a rookie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then
who'd you punt out of a job?
My partner was Liam Wynn. He was a 5-year Green Gale. He was there after me, before me. Yeah.
Oh, Winsy, you fucking stripped him of his job. And his, that's all right. If he's listening to shout out Winsy.
I gave it back to him the next year.
I'm moving on, buddy. I'm coming in as I'm just going to lead the league and then get out of here. But you can have the gear back.
Stepping stone. Eh? It's just a stepping stone, Winsy. Don't worry. You'll have it back.
Yeah. Yeah. Just wait your time, Winsy. It'll come.
For sure.
And then, so the next year, how was you get the call, obviously, to make the team in Whippy. Who's the goalie partner there?
It was actually Matt Carroll. We didn't have one at the beginning, but Matt Carroll. So he was my partner growing up all my life as a 97, 98. So we didn't have one at first. And then Coach Keenan, he was running the program still. He brought Matty back. Matty played the 1 year, and that was it for him. So, but we kind of split time during the regular season. And then I think I ended up finishing the one playoff series that we played.
Who'd you guys play? Do you remember that?
We played Brampton. We lost in game 5 in Whippy. Packed house, like during the middle of the qualifiers, like unbelievable. Jeff Teat, double overtime, step down over my shoulder. Like
as soon as
he shot it, I knew like this is over. Like I was just sweating buckets in Iroquois Park. Like just like honestly, probably just wanted to get out of there.
That's too many periods. That's way too many periods.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, that was actually a crazy game because I remember like we were down like 6-1 or something, and then Bennett Drake ran the goalie on Brampton, and it just like cued the comeback kind of. And then you get into like the first overtime that isn't sudden death back then. So it was like, I think each team scored twice in the 10-minute full overtime, and then Teeter just first minute, like I think first shot of second overtime ended it.
Yeah, I remember watching that video too. He didn't even sell it, which made it like worse. Like he was just, like tired of being there or something. He wasn't excited.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Just too tired. Just get me out of here.
Get me out of here.
And then, so was there like throughout your time in junior, after that year, did you become the starter for the next kind of like three remaining years, or what was there? Was there a battle?
Honestly, no. It was me and Dauber, Brett Dobson. So right. we kind of went back and forth and battled it out. And it was probably good for both of us to get that time, right? Because it was weird because Whippy Lacrosse was in kind of like a weird spot. It was after we had just won all those Mentos, like in, well, we won them in 11, won them in 13. We were in it in 12, hosted. And then we kind of had a few years where guys were just like, yeah, I'm in. Yeah, I'm out. Like, I'll come play 3 games. I'll come play 4 games. A lot of junior C, a lot of junior B guys in the lineup all the time. But it was probably good for our development, for sure, to have a split there. And then, yeah, we just split the 3 years I was there, and then Dauber kind of took it over when I left.
Hmm. Is he a year younger than you, or 2 years younger?
He's 2 years younger than me, yeah. He came in as a first-year junior.
Was there 1 year out of that your time in Whippy that you kind of felt like the team was in a good spot to make a run?
Honestly, my first and second years when we had that like 95, 96 age, there was always that thought where we could have, okay, if we add one or two pieces, maybe we could do it. But the problem with Whippy too, like we don't have the financial backing that some of these teams have to be able to pick up some of these guys. And that's the way it is, right? In junior lacrosse now. So, but yeah, there was always that thought, but you look at some of the other teams and you just think there's absolutely no fucking chance we're making a run.
Yeah.
You weren't giving guys free F-150s?
No, we weren't. No. Yeah. We were giving them a Great Canadian Meat sandwich on the way to the game in the bus. That's about it.
You guys used to do the...
They're giving them watermelon 10Ks.
didn't Whippy, Pauly, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like I remember this from like early in my time in junior, but like they used to do like gift cards for player of the game or something, didn't they?
Potentially.
I feel like there was something like that, at least like my first year or something, but obviously that's stopped since. But now did you, when you were in junior, did you fight Ralphie?
Yeah, I fought Ralphie. I think it would have been, it was my third year junior because it was Dauber's first ever junior A game.
Okay.
That's the only reason why I know. So we were in the Bunny Barn. It was the first game of the season. Like the boys were jacked to get there, like Whippy Orangeville first game. And then I think we were putting it to him pretty good. End of the second period, you gotta walk like the full length of Tony Rose to get off into the corner. And I'm walking down and I just see out of the corner of my eye Ralphie like coming, kind of like not going to the corner where he should be, kind of like beelining himself kind of to my area. And I was like, oh, maybe we're doing this. Like, and he kind of like, I can't remember if I gave him a shove or he gave me a shove. And then the next thing I know, we were just throwing. Like, that guy was out of those uppers so quick. Like, I didn't stand a chance.
It's slippery.
Little spider monkey all over you.
And it's crazy because, like, there's that photo of him rocking me in the head. And it's just like all over the internet. And I'm like, I don't think it was that. Like, he didn't beat me that bad. It's just that photo made it look so much worse than it was.
It's just a still moment in time. It'll get you. Yeah. But I guess, yeah, for those that don't know, that's Hartley. Is Ralphie that's decided to kind of walk the plank over there and get into one. But that's – was the place just going nuts after that or what?
Yeah. Well, it was weird because there was not one other fight on the floor. It was just me and him center floor going at it. Everyone was like, what the fuck is going on here? And then, the boys were fired up. I think there was a couple fights in the third period. And then we ended up beating them pretty good. So
did you get the boot then? Because it was like after the period.
Yeah, we well, no, because in junior and senior now you get kicked out anyways when you fight, right?
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So then Dauber gets thrown. That's Jobber's first game, so he gets thrown.
Dauber's first game with junior A. Get in there, kid.
That's good. Paulie, you'd have zero games played in a
my career would have been done, dude.
So I guess so then what year was your last year junior?
Would have been 18, the summer of 18. So right then, before COVID.
So summer of 18, and then is your first action playing senior in that like bubble that they did?
Yeah, it was. That was my first.
Okay.
My
first and had you been drafted? You hadn't been. You had already been drafted to Buffalo at that point.
Yeah, I'd been drafted to Buffalo. Went through camp, and then it was the following summer.
Okay. So what was? I mean, to play your first kind of senior experience in like whatever the fuck that thing was. How did that feel?
Well, the Brooklyn Lacrosse Club. We had a ton of guys and four goalies, so it was kind of like we played every fourth game for goalies.
Oh wow!
So yeah, so I think I only played 2 out of the 10 games. Like I started 2 out of the 10 games. But yeah, it was a different feel. Obviously, like the lacrosse is a lot different than junior. It's a lot slower, but a lot more skill too, right? So
yeah.
But yeah, I think it was a good stepping stone. I'm not with Brooklyn anymore, but it was nice to start there and be able to play for a team I grew up watching.
For sure. So maybe take us through kind of the draft part. So where was it? Did you have an idea? Like, were you there? Did you have an idea this was going to happen or what?
So my draft story is kind of crazy. I was there. It was in Philadelphia at Xfinity Live. I got like the pre-text from or pre-messages from the NOL saying like, your draft's upcoming and you should attend and all this stuff. And I was talking to a few teams, and then the first round went by and nothing. The second round, third round, fourth round, fifth round. And I'm just like, I'm sitting there middle of the sixth round. I'm looking at like, kind of like what teams have picks left. I'm like, yeah, like this is probably not happening. So I was like, I told me and my old man were there. I was like, let's get the fuck out of here. Like, so I left. I'm outside in the car, like ties off, buttons are down, like contemplating, like, ah, maybe this just isn't for me. Like, and then actually Willie was the first guy that text came through. He's like, where'd you go? And I'm like, I'm outside. Like, he's like, you just got drafted by Buffalo. And I'm like, oh God. So I rush back in there, like, get through. The draft's already over at this point. Like, I was almost Mr. Irrelevant. I think I was second last pick of the draft. Like, so I go to the Buffalo table and introduce myself, and they're like, yeah, we were like waiting, we saw you sitting there all night, like we were just waiting for our pick to come up. And I'm like, oh, thanks. Like, and that's how that went. So, but it was a good night
in the bathroom. My bad, just in the bathroom.
Yeah, just ties off, like just looking like a
break
scrub.
Just breaking shit.
Yeah, I think the jersey's a medium. I didn't even try and put it on.
That's cool. So then, I mean, kind of going into that, what was the first camp experience like? And was I guess Vino would have been there already, right?
Yeah, so
what was Vino, that like?
It was obviously intimidating, but obviously I was excited to learn from that guy and be able to watch him and see how he does it. But yeah, like they were just at the beginning of that super team they're putting together. So it was cool to be there and experience that and just kind of get to know what it's like to be a pro. Right. And I think it allowed me to kind of know what to expect the next times I was in camp. So.
And then.
Yeah. And then COVID shut. Well, then COVID shuts everything down. Right. And then. So you get released from Buff then? Like,
didn't yeah. Like team? It was a quick cup of coffee. I think I was there for 3 weeks in camp. And then actually that year I got a call from Colorado right before COVID shut down. And then obviously COVID shut down, so nothing transpired. And then I think in August I talked to Dan and signed in Rochester. But then there was a whole nother year of just in limbo with COVID.
Yeah.
Like I think I was on Rochester for 2 years, but we only played one season.
Yeah. And then so take us through that, because then you're like your first season kind of goes from like 0 to 62. Like obviously I'm playing with you there, So we signed you as their third goalie. You're doing the third goalie thing, just being an absolute beauty, great teammate. But then all of a sudden, like
that was actually wild. So I get into camp. I'm like, okay, I got a chance to be a third here. Like we got Kirky, we got Ralph and Hartley. So I make the team as the third. I'm doing my thing for a couple weeks, and then boom! Like I think it was like a Monday night, we get a text from Kirky in the group chat saying, "Oh, like boys, unfortunately, I have to hold out. Like my new job, I can't play." And I was kind of like just sitting there, like, "Oh, so who are we signing? Like I get to be the third still." Like, and then I think it was like a few days later, Dan called me. He was like, "Yeah, like, you know, we're going to go with Ralph as the starter and you're going to be the backup." And I'm like, "Oh, game checks. Like, this is kind of nice. Like,
for a couple dollar weeks, signs, couple, baby.
Like, a couple of weeks. Like, we'll see what happens." And then how long after, Paulie? Like, a few weeks, probably?
Yeah, not much longer. Then Ralphie takes one between the eyes twice.
Yeah, and then I was like, okay, now we're definitely, like, doing something. We're going to sign someone. Like, they're not going to throw me to the fire here. But then I get a call from Hazer, I think it was, and he just said, "No, like, we're going with you. Like, you've earned it." And I'm like, well, now it's time to put my fucking big boy pants on because I'm getting in there. And, you know, I think it was the best thing for me because I've been in the league since. So I'm forever grateful of that opportunity.
Yeah, I'll say, I mean, like, obviously – you know, I was on that team and, you know, we had a tough year. We were decent, like competitive, but like, I will say like probably first couple games, a little like shaky, but that's for anything, like any goalie. But then by the end, man, like, I don't know how you felt, but you started like making saves, getting comfortable and like giving us a chance to win.
Yeah, no, I exactly what you said. Like that first game against New York, I don't think I stopped a ball for the first
time. Yeah, I think they went 5 for 5. I think.
Yeah, and I was like, oh fuck, here we go. And then, but no, once like obviously, I think that second game, I think we lost 9-6 in Saskatchewan. Yeah. Like, yeah. I played solid, and I think I gave the guys a chance to win. Hopefully, but yeah, it was just we had a tough time burying the ball that year. I found.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Some circumstances.
Fuck, blame the old guys, eh?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Always, I like it. But yeah, so then from then, you know, obviously moving to the next year, I guess the trade to Vegas happens at the draft. Is that right?
Yeah. So the expansion draft came, and they had made that trade for Hutchcraft and the first overall pick, and for Bertrand, and going back the other way to Vegas. And then I kind of saw the writing on the wall of what they were trying to do there. So I think me and Dan had a conversation, honestly, later that day, maybe. And he just said, he's like, "No, like, it's like, I want you to come to camp. I want you to compete. Like, and then we'll discuss that." And I basically told him, I was like, you know, I think with my opportunity last year, I didn't really want to go back to being a third goalie. I think there was a chance for me to go play somewhere in this league, at least to swing a door. And he honored that. He said, "Yeah, I think that we can probably find something." And he said that leading up to the draft, he kept saying, he's like, just worry about yourself, worry about getting ready, and all the pieces will fall. So I actually, funny, that night too, we had practice with the junior A's because I was coaching the junior A's at this time. That was our mental run year. I walk into the coaching room and Willie's there, and I was just like, "Fuck, man, like, you just traded a goalie to where I play, like, thanks," the kind of thing. And he's like, he's kind of like, "Don't worry, like, everything will work out." And then the draft night, I just get a text from Willie, "Let's fucking go, welcome to the desert." And I wasn't even watching the draft. I had no idea what was going on. And then a couple hours later, Dan Carey called me.
That's awesome. I mean obviously awesome in terms of kind of an opportunity for you. And now as soon as that happens, are you in your mind like, "I'm moving to Vegas, I'm living there year one," or what?
Yeah, that was the instant thought. Like, why not, right? I've never been to Vegas. I'm 24 years old. Like, let's get down there and start building this thing. And you wouldn't believe just the community. Like, yeah, people think Vegas, they think of the Strip, and they think of gambling, and they think of the bright lights. But it's honestly like a hometown feel, like Whitby, Ontario.
That's interesting.
Yeah, no, you know, it's funny, like, again, to like a lesser or to a more degree, like, you hear that, like, in the NHL and stuff, too. Like, I think Vegas was at one point the biggest like growing city in America, but like everyone's like, man, the suburbs are actually like super legit, but anyone ever thinks about the strip, but it's supposed to be like one of the best places to live like in America.
Yeah, it's honestly, guys, like it's crazy. Like I live in Summerlin. Well, that's where I live. And that's where most of the players live. It's honestly like every day. Like there's, and the people are so nice. Like it's friendly. The school communities are unbelievable. Like it's cool to be there and see the fans that are locals that have just attached onto lacrosse so quickly and are so compassionate about a sport that they have no idea what's going on before. They still have no idea, but we're going to get there and we're going to teach these people how to love the game. Like we love the game and keep playing the game. And like box lacrosse does not exist there. And we're going to try and put that on the map.
What's and I mean, I saw your house when you kind of we at one of those runs leading up to the season, you showed me some pictures or whatever. Like, walk me through what it's like living in that shack in Vegas.
Yeah, it was a pretty nice house, right? Like, because you never know, like what you hear stories about player housing and you just think, oh, like what am I walking into? But they took care of us pretty good. And that house was something else. Like the backyard, just that like little soaker tub with the turf. Like I was chipping golf balls all day in the backyard, just into the pool, into the friggin' parking lot behind our house, and
just shanking them.
Yeah. Not chipping,
yeah.
Just shanking them.
Yeah. But and then the golf course was right behind our, like there was a golf course.
What course? What track?
Angel Park.
Okay, that's supposed to be a hidden gem. I actually just saw that in Instagram. It's like a hidden gem in Vegas.
Oh, man, it's an unbelievable spot. I think I played probably 20, 30 rounds there.
Wow. That's so sick. Yeah, that's so
yeah.
Sick.
Polly's torqued now.
Yeah, let's say stop talking about lacrosse. Let's talk about more golf.
Yeah. Hey, dude.
Who were you living with? Sorry, Donnie. Yeah, who were you living with?
No, that was me. My question.
Yeah, so I lived with Connor Kirst, Jackson Subach, and Landon Kells.
How messy.
it was pretty dirty. It was a pretty dirty place. But we cleaned it up pretty well when we were moving out. We had a lady come in and she cleaned it up pretty nice.
Are you guys all single guys that were down there or what?
Me, Subach, and Kells are all single, but Kirstie's got himself a woman. She's back in Philadelphia, I think, is where she lives. But,
so yeah.
Well, hey, what's it like living with Kirstie? Just an all time, you know, beauty. I'm lucky enough to play with some of his brothers, and the stories about Connor are just legendary. What was that like? Because
man, those more like
Canadian
just,
audience may not know.
Not just Kirstie; those Kirst brothers are just unbelievable people, right? But Connor is so disciplined in how he goes about his everyday life. Like it's absolutely crazy. Like he goes to work, goes to the gym, comes home, eats, goes to bed. But like, the way he eats the same things every day. Like I couldn't imagine eating what he eats, because like, I just looked at him like, yeah, no thanks. Like, but he's such a genuine human and such a good guy to live with. And I'm hoping to live with him again this year down there. So, but yeah.
Maybe his old lady moves down and just home cooked meals every day. Eh?
Yeah, no, I think she works for the NFL. So I think she's pretty busy on the road. So, but yeah, no, he's a great dude to live with.
All right, so let's get into it. What are the watering holes? What were the boys doing after games? Where are we going?
Yeah, so we had an inn. Well, the first week we went to XS, which is inside the Wynn. It's a really good spot. And then we switched it up the next week. We went to Omnia, but like our whole, which is inside Caesar's Palace, our whole team kind of went. We spent that $6,000 from the PA pretty quick, like
on one bottle.
Like it's
got a glass of water. Got a glass of water each.
It's not hard to spend there. And then we kind of built up like this relationship with this guy, with this promoter, that kind of let us into XS most weeks with bottles, booth, and then kind of like built that relationship. But then we went to a couple other spots. We went to On the Record. I think Paulie went there.
Yeah, that was a cool little spot. I like that spot. It wasn't so much like the giant club Vegas. So you could actually like hold a conversation, kind of more like almost like a hipster bar, kind of.
Yeah, it's a cool little spot. It's kind of, there's like a club area, but there's also like a social area.
Kind of thing.
And I think we were there for my birthday. That was a good time.
Oh, yeah, that was your birthday.
Yeah, that was a good time. So like the one night we were at XS, like the Chiefs were there celebrating the Super Bowl. Like, you should have seen this. Like, I have videos on my phone of Kelsey and Mahomes and like up on stage rapping. Like, it's absolutely wild. There's people there every weekend that you wouldn't imagine seeing anywhere else in your life, but there they are in Vegas on stage at XS. Like, it's just living. It's crazy.
Is there a story that was like that you remember that you're kind of like, Jesus Christ, we're in Vegas now?
Honestly, just like every weekend, man. Like, every weekend is like a different movie. Like,
yeah,
you come outside the club, it's like 6 a.m. You look outside and you're like, I have to go home. Like, the light, like the birds are chirping, I need to go home. So I would go like sleep till like 3, watch football the rest of the day, kind of thing.
Yeah, just living, rolling. Yeah, it's wild how late they go there, and they just like, because you have no idea what time it is outside.
They have no care what time in the world it is.
No, there's no rules.
No,
just free, just a free place, just buzzing.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
We were lucky enough to play there for the first game, and Wayne being there was pretty cool too. I gotta imagine that was up there.
Yeah, no, like our ownership group is just cool to begin with, just to think about it. But yeah, Wayne being there, Joe, I think Steve was there. I don't think DJ was there, but still, like, those guys embracing it and being a part of it.
DJ was there. He just forgot to leave XS to get to the game. okay, what I gotta ask you, what the fuck are these nose ads that you're doing?
The nasal cleanse.
What is that?
So this company started a partnership with our team. I don't know if they still have it or not. I haven't heard about it for this season, but so they needed a couple guys to kind of promote their product. So, and they were paying us. So I was like, yeah, like, I'll do it. I don't care.
Yeah.
So I met with this guy, and he's like, we're in a coffee shop in Las Vegas, and he's like, got all these swabs out on the table and this gel. And he's like, yeah, like, so you just like put the gel on, and so I'm sticking this stuff up my nose inside a coffee shop, and like, people are looking at us like, what the fuck is going on?
Not so, already, boy. Jesus, yeah. There's kids in the coffee shop.
So it just kind of got on as like a running thing, and then we were told we had to post a week. So I post weekly on my story. I did a couple posts on my actual IG, and but honestly, like, it did help clear your airways, but not that long in long term, you know. Like, it was just kind of like a quick, like, wow, like, it actually does. It's kind of like minty smooth, like, it smells good, but it wasn't. I don't know if it's
hopefully that. Hopefully that partnership doesn't get renewed, because you just told everybody that the product sucks. Oh, that's funny.
Maybe they're coming out with a version 2.0. You never know.
Yeah. They're working on it.
I remember I posted like an actual post on my Instagram, and like the comments were just disgusting. So I had to take the comments down, remove commenting. I was like, my mother's on here. Like, she does not need to see any of that.
Like, you're just asking for it. Posting one of those. Yeah. Uh-huh. And now I see you're a Cameo guy now too, eh?
Yeah, you know, like, I've had a couple. I've done a couple. It's
no
it's
way.
Money. So like, why not? Yeah.
That's through the PA, right? Or who's that through?
PA. Through the PA, yeah.
I might have to jump on it.
Man, I've got like $36 in the last week for just saying a couple words. Man, some kid sent me a message on Cameo. It cost him $5. Send me one on Instagram. It's free, bud. Like,
just racking up his parents' credit card just to pay your favorite goalie.
Just back and forth talking to the big rig.
Hey, maybe we should see if we can do like a Back of the Bird Cameo. It's like the three of us together. We can just bang them out.
I like it.
That'd be awesome.
On Zoom.
Yeah, I think we could organize that. And maybe we'll reach out to the nasal boys too there and see if we can get a sponsorship. we'll wait for the 2.0 product though. Was there like a moment for you, you know, maybe outside of like your first game or something, that you, it was kind of like the, I'm in the NLL now sort of thing?
Yeah, I think like middle of that time in Rochester, it was kind of like I kind of knew like, okay, I'm good enough to do this. I can do this. And hopefully this is prolonging my career sort of thing. And obviously, again, getting traded, it's kind of like, okay, another team kind of sees some value in me. And that's when I kind of knew that I could play.
We've one of my all-time favorite teammates, Jacob Rouet. What's it like hanging with that guy?
So Rooster is – that's the only way to describe him, an unbelievable teammate. I can't wait. He's living in Vegas this year.
Is he really? Sell the team. Sell the team.
I am over the moon about that. He actually – a couple weeks ago, because I was on the fence about living there this year, I'd gone through some stuff at work, and I was like, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. And I just decided a couple weeks ago, I was like, yeah, I'm doing it. He was the first guy I texted. I was like, Rooster, we're living, like, let's do it. He's like, let's go. Like, he's so pumped to get down there. And
yeah,
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's an all-timer.
Ultimate competitor too. Unbelievable.
Exactly. Yeah. And he just loves the battle, loves the grind leading up to it too. But I think he just did like a little fucking secondment visit to Costa Rica or something.
He was
living in the trees.
Yeah.
I love that.
He sent me a couple texts when he was on there. I was like, I better not answer these.
Yeah. Oh, he's good. Boys, anything else before we let him go?
You gotta ask number.
Oh, why, yeah, number.
Number.
Oh, at 92?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that always called. Has that always been your number?
No, so I went into Buffalo camp. Like, oh, like, I guess I can't be 92 because it's Dane.
I think you could have asked him for it.
Yeah. So I think I did put it down as like number three pick. I was like, yeah, I'll take Dane's 92.
Maybe they cut him. Maybe this is the year they cut him.
Yeah, he could have.
But
that worked out.
I always wore 29, and then I got to Rochester, and Byler was 29, so I just reversed them and went 9-2.
Nice.
And then now I'm just going to stick with it. I like it.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good number. I wore it for a bit. It's a good number.
Yeah, it's good.
I like it. Anything else, boys, before we let them go?
When do you move down?
Oh, I'm hoping here in the next couple of weeks. They haven't decided anything yet, but they gotta figure out where they're putting everyone and everything like that. So when that's all settled, I'll get down there.
Sweet. Well, how are you gonna drive or fly?
So last year I flew and they shipped my car, but I might do the drive this year.
Yeah, why not? Go see some stuff.
Yeah, you might as well.
Barkley, he did the drive last year and he stopped in some pretty cool cities. So it's like, maybe I'll do that and just take a week and do it, you know, because I did the Vegas to Vancouver because I played summer ball at West.
Yeah.
And then I did the Vancouver home, which was, that's a terrible drive, but it was just cool to do it. Right. So.
Yeah. 100%. Just add to the experience list, man. That's awesome.
Exactly.
Check those boxes.
I'm young and dumb.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Beauty, man. Awesome. This is awesome. Whipper. Riggsy. Yeah. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, appreciate
it. Thanks for having me, boys. This was awesome.
Yeah, all the best in the desert this year, buddy.
Can't wait.
All right, big guy. Awesome. We'll see you.
Thanks, buddy.
See you, boys.
All right. That was the Big Rig. What a chat. What a character. Just living in Vegas. Hanging. Yeah. So fun.
What a laugh on that guy, eh? His laugh is just contagious. Just just makes you want to crack
big
up.
Big man laugh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, fuck, yeah. It's that's good stuff. But
a couple stories I thought were hilarious, by the way. The draft story, very funny. I think you'll see that on Instagram this week. And then the story is just about the old festivals and the Reebok 10Ks and just like basically just
parents leaving him there for 10 hours.
When he said free childcare, I was like, dude, that's fucking hilarious.
That is so funny. Oh man.
So thanks to Big Rig for coming on.
I'm excited to do a follow-up check-in on him and our buddy Jacob Rue living down in Vegas. I think maybe that would be a fun little segment, just a little mid-season check-in to see if the boys are alive. So Paulie's, you're Vancouver bound. Donnie, you're hanging in Oakville. And I'm off to Buffalo. So there's a lot of moving parts. This is the time. Again, you're going to be the boys are getting away from the old significant others, the families, everything like that. So make sure to do your sucking up during the week. I was told I had to give a shout out to the wives and girlfriends at this time. I don't know if any of them are listening, but
I know my wife does it.
Me neither.
No. My mom does, I think, though.
Your mom and your sister?
Yeah, my sister for sure. She's our number one fan.
Hey, Mrs. Dawson or Sister Dawson, if you ever want to come on the show.
Sister Dawson. It's not, she's not 400 years old and Sister
Dawson. Well, I didn't know what her name was. Calling her Mrs. Dawson, she probably wouldn't appreciate that compared to Mrs. Dawson.
Call her Mrs. Greer.
Mrs. Greer. Oh, I forgot about that part.
Yeah.
So.
You tried your best. It's all good.
I was sort of fun.
It was good. It was fine. It just sounded funny because I just saw Sister Jean on Twitter. Dude, I saw something on Twitter that Sister Jean went to high school in 1937. They said she's driving around before the Second World War. Like, that's amazing. Paulie, I saw that. There was an Instagram clip, I guess, before. We'll wrap up in a second, but that from that Honey Pond golf course we did for Brad Gilley's bachelor party.
I know, it's been all over the place, man. You guys are, I feel like you guys are like the originators of it.
We got in early, man. Now
yeah,
it's,
man.
Like,
I bet you through the roof pricing. Like,
the place, so that I looked up that house. When they bought that house, it was on Zillow. It was like $1.6 million. They're renting it out for like $25,000-$30,000 for a weekend. Just insane how much money they're probably making. But yeah, I think that pretty much does it for episode 98. Again, shout out to Bar Down. Our boys at Lion Eyes are revamping. They're coming back.
Wow.
The fucking Undertaker meme of all Undertaker memes.
I thought they were done.
I thought it was over. But you said they're in the midst of revamping their product. I think they were acquired by somebody. So you want it, you got it. BCAAs, creatine, multivitamins, protein, whatever you need. I think we'll have some more information on that upcoming. Go check out the merch. Get it for people for Christmas. Hopefully we're going to work on like maybe a little discount thing there. What else? Oh, yeah, Cottage Springs stuff, obviously. Just go give that a sample. You can't go wrong with a little vodka soda around the holidays. You don't want to be getting too plump. Too many stouts, too much. Yeah, keep the calories down, but the percentage up with these jacked up ones. Anything else, boys, before we wrap it up?
No, great
party. Okay, awesome. And again, huge shout out to our boys in Boston, Levi. What an awesome show. Awesome band. People were just walking out of that place like, how are those guys not bigger yet? But they're getting their chance. They're headlining shows now, putting in the work. So again, go give them a listen. You listen to their music every week, whether you like it or not. You've got no choice because we shove it down your throat here. But please, yeah, go give them a listen, share their music, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace.